Anne said. You can't go wrong with that. An hour passed, then another hour, and by the time the 19-year-old Reznikov sat down to be questioned by the immigration official, he had forgotten the name the man had told him to give. Your name? The official asked, slapping his head in frustration. The weary immigrant blurted out in Yiddish, Ich hab vergessen. I've forgotten. And so it was that Isaac Reznikov began his new life in America as Ichabod Ferguson. He had a hard time of it, especially in the beginning. But even after it was no longer the beginning, nothing ever went as he had imagined it would in his adopted country. It was true that he managed to find a wife for himself just after his 26th birthday. And it was also true that this wife, Fanny, née Grossman, bore him 3 robust and healthy sons. But life in America remained a struggle for Ferguson's grandfather from the day he walked off the boat until the night of March 7th, 1923, when he met an early, unexpected death at the age of 42. Gunned down in a holdup at the leather goods warehouse in Chicago, where he'd been employed as a night watchman. No photographs survive of him, but by all accounts he was a large man with a strong back and enormous hands, uneducated, unskilled, the quintessential greenhorn know-nothing. On his first afternoon in New York, he chanced upon a street peddler hawking the reddest, roundest, most perfect apples he had ever seen. Unable to resist, he bought one and eagerly bit into it. Instead of the sweetness he had been anticipating, the taste was bitter and strange. Even worse, the apple was sickeningly soft. And once his teeth had pierced the skin, the insides of the fruit came pouring down the front of his coat in a shower of pale red liquid dotted with scores of pellet-like seeds. Such was his first taste of the New World, his first never-to-be-forgotten encounter with a Jersey tomato. Not a Rockefeller, then, but a broad-shouldered roustabout, a Hebrew giant with an absurd name and a pair of restless feet who tried his luck in Manhattan and Brooklyn, in Baltimore and Charleston, in Duluth and Chicago, employed variously as a dockhand, an ordinary seaman on a Great Lakes tanker, an animal handler for a traveling circus, an assembly line worker in a tin can factory, a truck driver, a ditch digger, a night watchman. For all his efforts, he never earned more than nickels and dimes, and therefore the only things poor Ike Ferguson bequeathed to his wife and 3 boys were the stories he had told them about the vagabond adventures of his youth. In the long run, stories are probably no less valuable than money, but in the short run, they have their decided limitations. The leather goods company made a small settlement with Fanny to compensate her for her loss, and then she left Chicago with the boys, moving to Newark, New Jersey, at the invitation of her husband's relatives, who gave her the top floor apartment in their house in the Central Ward for a nominal monthly rent. Her sons were 14, 12, and 9. Louis, the oldest, had long since evolved into Lou, L-E-W. Aaron, the middle child, had taken to calling himself Arnold after one too many schoolyard beatings in Chicago. And Stanley, the 9-year-old, was commonly known as Sonny. To make ends meet, their mother took in laundry and mended clothes. But before long, the boys were contributing to the household finances as well. Each one with an after-school job, each one turning over every penny he earned to his mother. Times were tough, and the threat of destitution filled the rooms of the apartment like a dense, blinding fog. There was no escape from fear, and bit by bit, all 3 boys absorbed their mother's dark, ontological conclusions about the purpose of life. Either work or starve, either work or lose the roof over your head, either work or die. For the Fergusons, the weak-minded notion of all for one and one for all did not exist. In their little world, it was all for all or nothing. Ferguson was not yet 2 when his grandmother died, which meant that he retained no conscious memories of her. But according to family legend, Fanny was a difficult and erratic woman, prone to violent screaming fits and manic bursts of uncontrollable sobbing, who beat her boys with brooms when